In the 1980s, the homeschooling movement was driven by evangelical or fundamentalist Christians. But today, a broad range of families choose to teach their children at home, and Iowa law makes it easy to do. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, the culture of homeschooling. I'll talk with two Iowa women who were homeschooled in childhood about their experiences. I'll also talk with a mother who is homeschooling her children now. Students that are homeschooled but dual enrolled in a school district have access to many of the district's resources. I'll talk with the directors of the homeschool assistance programs in the Marion and Mid Prairie districts. And we also want to hear from you. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This week, we're exploring different aspects of education on Iowa Public Radio with news reports and conversations on our talk shows. And this hour, we're focusing on the culture of homeschooling in Iowa. Now, there are a number of different options for homeschooling families in the state. Students can be homeschooled by a licensed teacher outside the public schools. They can be homeschooled by a non-licensed person in cooperation with the school district, where they have access to many of the district's resources, they can dual enroll, they can also be assessed, as other students are if they choose. The third option is independent private instruction, so no relationship with a school district. And we know that approximately 7,000 Iowa students are homeschooled through options one and two. We do not know how many families choose the third option because they don't have to report to the Department of Education. An educated guess would be that approximately 4,000 Iowa students fall into that category. This hour, we'll hear personal stories about homeschooling. I'll also talk with the directors of the homeschooling assistance programs at the Marion Independent School District and the Mid Prairie District. We also want to hear your stories, your experiences, your questions. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we're going to start with a personal story. My first guest is Rebecca Tilley. She was homeschooled growing up in Kentucky. She now lives and works in Iowa City today and has chosen not to homeschool her four children. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So take us back in time when your parents made the decision to homeschool you in Kentucky. What was driving that choice?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was 8 years old, so I'm not exactly sure about all the reasons behind that. But my understanding is that they were deeply impacted by a woman named Mary Pride, who was writing at the time about homeschooling and just how parents should take ownership of their children's education. And so my mom and dad decided to pull my brother and I out of public school and start homeschooling us when I was in third grade and he was in first grade. And I remember it being a really different experience from just, you know, from moving to a classroom to being at home. But it was, for the most part, a fairly positive one.
And were you part of a homeschool community? I mean, your parents were deeply religious, and right, that was part of their decision making.
It was, yes. So this was 1986. It was very rare that anyone homeschooled back then. We did find ourselves in a community, a small church that had a number of homeschooling families, and I think that was part of the reason that drove the decision. They were in a community that did that at the time. So there were four other families that we were involved with in that process.
And what kind of experience had your mom had? I mean, I realized that it was your mother who did the instructing.
Sure.
What kind of experience had she had teaching?
Right. So she did not have a background in teaching, but she did have a background in child psychology. I do feel like that she was very concerned about making sure we were getting a high quality education. In fact, she went out of her way to test us when she didn't have to. In fact, taking the Iowa Test of Basic Skills was part of my, you know, a yearly ritual of my childhood. And she was very concerned about making sure that our quality of education was very high.
And also part of the decision was that your mother and father didn't feel that the schools in Kentucky were on par with what they wanted for their kids.
Yes. You know, in Kentucky, we've underfunded public education for generations. And I remember my dad talking about when he went to college, just how underprepared he was. And I think that's an experience my parents didn't want to replicate for their children.
So when you think about those years and you think about your education, for the most part, as you've said, it's a positive memory. What do you think the benefits were to you?
Sure, absolutely. You know, it gave me a real sense of curiosity. My mom was really keen on letting us read and just follow our interests. And, you know, I had a lot of time, frankly, to pursue a lot of that. And that was highly encouraged. Also, you do get to a point sometimes where I wouldn't say I was self-educated because my parents were definitely there instructing me and teaching me. But especially in high school, I had a lot of videos and just curriculum or books where I had to read the material to learn how to do like geometry and calculus. And I had, you know, if I really got stuck, my dad could come along and help me out with that. But then otherwise, I really just had to figure it out on my own. And so I developed a great confidence in my ability to, you know, I can study anything and I can figure it out eventually.
And obviously, you had the abilities that allowed you to be able to do that.
Sure.
Not all students are going to be able to do that.
That's
on their
true.
Own. But so let's talk about long term. Being homeschooled in the way that you were at that time, as you said, was pretty rare. Was it difficult to get into a college?
Yes. yes. When I graduated, I was one of the first, you know, homeschool graduates. And I ended up going to a private Christian school for my undergrad just because they were very familiar with homeschoolers. And so many of them kind of came from a more religious background. I had another friend that went to the University of Kentucky. And, you know, when she submitted a transcript that was, you know, written by her mom, they were just like, what is this? And so, and I remember she had to go jump through a lot of additional hoops. And then it did sort of help, though, that both this friend and I had taken both the ACT and the SAT, and those scores were quite high. And so it demonstrated that our mothers were not just making up silly things on this transcript.
Right. So, and you did go on to do graduate work.
I did. Mm-hmm.
At a public university.
I did, at the University of Kentucky.
So as you then moved on with life and your career and became a mother, you actually had an expectation that you would also homeschool your kids.
I did, yeah. I don't know exactly where that came from other than I think a lot of us just sort of, you know, what our mothers did is sort of what we think that we should also do. And it's not anything that my parents really put on me. It's something, and it's something I didn't even quite realize that I had that expectation for myself. I just sort of thought it was my destiny. And I didn't think of that in a positive way necessarily, even though my experience was positive. So
what were your misgivings?
I think I recognized the sacrifice that the personal sacrifice my mother made to do that. You know, she was a professional woman. She had a master's degree and practiced as a child psychologist, and she gave that up completely to really invest in the education of myself and my siblings. And it's not that I don't, you know, love and make sacrifices for my kids, but, you know, that's part of it. And the other part of it, too, I guess, is, you know, when I thought about myself and my personality, I recognized that I was really concerned that I would just destroy the relationship I would have with my kids, just because I want to do things the best that's ever been done, and then the evidence of something being the best that's ever been done would be the how good my children were at how smart they were, basically,
right.
And that's really putting a heavy weight on them.
So you were afraid that being their teacher would compromise your relationship with them as a mother.
I did.
And your kids are in the public schools in Iowa City. Mm-hmm. What has that experience been like for you, having not really had that background growing up?
I went into it with a lot of fear and trepidation, frankly, just because it was such this unknown. I also had my folks in my ears where they were just, you know, what are these places and are they? Because, you know, they grew up in an environment where public schools were, you know, they were not quality places. And, you know, frankly, one of the things that I was just so struck by coming when we moved to Iowa was, you know, pretty much everybody sends their kids to public school in my experience. I mean, there's obviously outliers, but, you know, and the, you know, the teachers are really high quality. They're paid very well. It's a noble profession, and it's something that people, you know, try to attain to be. And, you know, it's It's just been this really amazing experience. You know, my kids technically go to a failing school. They go to a school that have a lot of kids with low free and reduced lunch rates. But then, you know, my kids have just excelled and have done so well. And, you know, one of the things that we really look at every year is their test scores, actually, and just sort of to see, like, how are they progressing year to year? And, you know, they've just done, you know, more than grade level every year. And that's just been really amazing to see.
And you've had an opportunity to have access to the classroom as a volunteer. So you've mm-hmm. been able to see what's going on
yes,
in the school.
Yes. Especially when we first moved here and I stayed home with my children. I made sure to spend some time volunteering in my son's kindergarten classroom. And I guess it definitely sealed in me the fact that I should never, ever be a teacher. So, you know, bless their hearts. They are just incredible people to just, you know, to love and to work with kids in just a vast array of abilities and levels. And then also now that I'm working again, I do quite a bit with our local PTO, and that's been a really valuable part of my journey and kind of partnering with the teachers that my kids have.
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing your experience today.
Thank you.
Rebecca Tilley, she was homeschooled growing up in Kentucky. She has four kids today and has chosen not to homeschool her children. She lives and works in Iowa City. We're getting a number of different personal stories this hour. And my next guest is Carrie Vance. She lives in the Des Moines Public School District and is homeschooling her three children this year. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Charity.
Oh, thank you so much for being here today. And we've got a break coming up, but I'd love for you to just give me an introduction to why you initially chose to homeschool your kids.
Sure. Well, initially, I chose to homeschool my kids. When my first was old enough for kindergarten, I just wasn't ready to send my child away all day, every day. I wanted to be with him more, and So I chose to dual enroll him and send him in the afternoons for the specials and then to spend the mornings with him, working with him myself. And I was able to speak to his strengths that way. And we had a really nice time. The other two kids were at home, so we were all just together as a family. Later on, I did send him to school full time, and my daughter came along and started school full-time as well, and it started out as a great experience, but we quickly realized that reading was not coming along for her and began to develop suspicions of dyslexia, and that's not something that is addressed directly in the schools as much as it needed to be in her case, and although she was getting extra help in her reading and math skills, things just weren't clicking, and the classroom environment quickly became a really stressful place for her, and all of a sudden she's feeling sick in the morning and strange things are happening. So the classroom stopped working for her and we brought her home again.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll find out more about what you're doing, homeschooling your three children, in just a moment. Carrie Vance is with me. She lives in the Des Moines Public School District and is homeschooling her three children this year. And we're going to talk about different experiences with homeschooling throughout the hour. You are welcome to join our conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're exploring the culture of homeschooling in Iowa. We know that approximately 7,000 Iowa students are homeschooled, either by an independent licensed instructor or dual enrolled, have contact with their public school district. There are also thousands of Iowa students who are homeschooled that do not have contact with their public district. We don't actually know the number of those students because they're not required to report to the Department of Education. This hour, we're hearing personal stories about homeschooling. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions, your concerns. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. We'll also talk with a couple of people who are directors of the homeschooling assistance programs in their school districts in just a moment. But with me right now is Carrie Vance. She lives in the Des Moines Public School District and is homeschooling her three children this year. And Carrie, as you were telling us before the break, initially you started homeschooling your son for two reasons. One, you weren't ready to send him off to school and not have that daily contact all day. You also knew that he was a gifted student and you felt that you could challenge him better at home. And with your daughter, when she was diagnosed with dyslexia, you decided that you needed that one-on-one time with her. So what did you do to prepare yourself to be the best teacher possible for your kids?
Right. Well, I had a great chance last summer, to take a couple classes at the Johnston AEA. That is really for teachers and furthering education, but I was a certified substitute teacher, so I was eligible for these classes, and I learned about dyslexia. I had an amazing instructor who walked us through lots of lesson plans and different approaches to working with kids with dyslexia, and I got trained in a program that I thought I would be successful at working with my daughter. It's a OG-based approach to dyslexia, and I saw her make great gains one-on-one with me last year through that approach. So, and I've continued to educate myself, and we've working with a neuropsychologist to find specifically what her needs are. And it costs a lot of money and it costs a lot of time. And it's not something every parent can do as a child with dyslexia. But fortunately, that's been our journey so far.
Right. And so you're in a situation where you have the ability to make that choice. It sounds like you have really taken advantage of the resources of your school district.
I have. We are enrolled in the home instruction program, so I have a visiting teacher, wonderful woman who comes twice a month to our home and develops a relationship with my kids, brings extra projects, enrichment type projects to work with them, just talks to them, reads with them, just finds out where they are and how they're doing, and also talks with me, and we go over curriculum and where we're at and where I'm headed and what my goals are. And she just helps keep me on track. Then they also have their block classes that they can attend weekly where they get a classroom experience. They get to develop relationships with those instructors and just get some extra enrichment opportunities in a classroom setting.
How do you think this has impacted your kids socially to be sort of in and out of the schools?
Well, I would say that for my oldest, he loves meeting people. And when we first put him in full time, there was that rocky transition where he had been going in the afternoons. He had met people and made friends. But, his big worry was, who is going to be my real friend? Because, of course, when you're not there all day, the kids just don't rely on you for a relationship the same way. But he easily found a group of friends and had really rich and happy friendships in school. Then he's continued to, I think it's pushed him to push into relationships more and just to be brave, because he has to jump in there because he's not there all day, every day. And so that's been one side of it. For my daughter, the relationship side was really easy. She's able to make friends so quickly. But when she was in a full-time classroom setting, she was so stressed out that she started to sour on her relationships because she associated them with her stressful time in the classroom. So once I pulled her out of the classroom, she was able to enjoy those friendships better, more, because the pressure, that social pressure with the academic side thrown in, was now removed.
And when you look to the future, what are you thinking about high school?
That high school, I only have two more years until that comes up. And honestly, that is still, I've made a decision every year what feels best for my children and the family as a whole. And that's a scary subject that I'm I'm still on the fence about.
All right. Well, Carrie, I want you to stay with us in case we want to come back to you and talk about your situation. Carrie Vance lives in the Des Moines Public School District and is homeschooling her three children this year for a variety of reasons. She works closely with the school district. And Tom Ertz is with us. He is director of the Marion Homeschool Assistance Program through the Marion Independent School District. Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. And Marion Independent School District, statistics show that you actually have the largest homeschool assistance program in the state, right?
That is correct.
All right. So give me just a little bit of an idea of how many students you interact with through this program every year.
I think currently this year we are looking at an enrollment just above 1,100 students, and that would be K-12.
All right. And where do your students come from? Because I understand that families can open enroll into the Marion Independent School District to take advantage of this program. Where are your families located?
Actually, we have families probably from close to 35 school districts that use our program. I would guess we're in the Cedar Rapids metro area here. I would guess 65% to 70% of our students come from Cedar Rapids, Lynmar, College Community, or Marion. But we do have a number of outlying districts where a smaller number come from.
Tell me a little bit, I realize you can't tell us all of what you offer to families, but clearly you're offering a program that's very attractive to homeschool families. What do you offer them?
We offer, in addition to the supervising teacher that each family is assigned to when they enroll in our program, we offer optional enrichment classes, optional field trips, a variety of workshops and training opportunities, both for students and for parents. We also offer a good-sized resource library.
And for the students, when they're dual enrolled in your school district, what does that mean for them on a daily basis?
I'm not sure what you're asking in terms of the amount of time.
Right. So, I mean, I realize that a family can really arrange this to suit their needs, but do you have students coming in and out of your school for classes on a daily basis?
We do. We have most of the students that come for our optional enrichment classes on site might come once or twice a week for an hour or two. Our students can also then dual enroll and take advantage of any classes or activities that are available in the actual public school buildings in the district.
And
most of that dual enrollment happens. It starts at the middle school level. Most of it is at the high school level.
And how about other opportunities like sports?
Yeah, sports like academics can be accessed through enrollment. We have a number of students that are in sports as well in the district. Again, that's primarily at that middle and high school level.
Now, you yourself, Tom, you and your wife chose to homeschool your children?
We did. We had five children, and we homeschooled all of them from kindergarten through high school.
And what drove that decision for you?
As you start to have kids, everybody always advises you that time is precious and it goes by very, very quickly. We decided that we wanted to capture as much that time as we possibly could. We were interested in strong relationships beyond the time when our children would leave home. And today we enjoy great relationships with all five of our kids, and we are very thankful that we took the time to be their primary educator.
When a family enrolls in your homeschooling assistance program, interacts with the open enrolls into the Marion Independent School District, that also impacts the amount of funding that you get from the state, right?
That is correct.
All right. So when that funding for those students comes your way, is that funneled back into the homeschooling assistance program, or does that become part of the larger budget?
Yeah, there's two types of funding for the homeschool kids. The primary funding, which is a 0.3 or 30% of what the district would get for a regularly educated student, that comes into our program in a 100% categorical funding used to provide services for the homeschool families. Then for students who do enroll, there's additional funding from the state, and that goes into the district's general fund.
So what do you think sets the Marion Independent School District's program apart? Why is it the biggest in the state? Why do you attract families from so many other districts?
Well, for one reason, as I mentioned, the largest part of our program is from the metro area here. We are immediately adjacent to very large school districts, Rapids and Lindmore. That contributes. We also have had tremendous support from our school board and our administration for many, many years, and I believe that's also the reason why our program has grown as it has.
We're having a little bit of trouble with our phone line, but before I let you go, Tom, I want to ask you, one of the things that people are often concerned about is the, I guess, lack of oversight of homeschooling families. Now, I understand that the families that are interacting with your district are counted. They're families that you interact with on a regular basis. What kind of responsibility does the district have to make sure that those kids are safe?
Well, each of our teachers are mandatory child reports, and so obviously if there was any indication that abuse of any was suspected, they would be responsible to report that.
Okay,
Our teachers are required to have 16 contacts with each of the families that's assigned to them. Half of those contacts from a face-to-face teacher. So typically twice a quarter we would have that face-to-face with the family.
All right. And Tom, I'm sorry, our line is deteriorating, but I really appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you very much.
Tom Ertz is the director of the Marion Homeschool Assistance Program through the Marion Independent School District. It's the largest homeschool assistance program in the state. And as Tom was telling us, they have students enrolled in their district from approximately 35 other districts surrounding the Marion Independent School District. You're welcome to join the conversation. We're talking about homeschool culture this hour. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. I want to get to the phones because we have a lot of people who want to share their experiences. Jesse's on the line in Lamoni. Hi, Jesse.
Good morning, Jarity.
And you homeschool your children?
Well, no, we are actually part of one of Iowa's two virtual public school systems. We started out as a homeschool family and then moved to the virtual public school environment later after being in the traditional homeschool environment.
All right, and what does that mean for how old? First, how old are your children?
We've got a fourth grader and a fifth grader.
All right, and what does that mean for them on a daily basis? What does school look like in your house?
So school looks very much like a traditional school day. It starts about 8:30 in the morning, and goes till 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon. And we have a regular classroom in part of our home. They interface with a certified teacher with Iowa Virtual Academy. All credit Karen Zercher and Emily Fioni, their teachers, and Steve Hoff, the head of schools. They meet with them through Class Connect sessions. They use the Adobe Connect system, meet with them once a day, Monday through Thursday. They've added Friday sessions this year for math and literature. And then my spouse and I act as learning coaches for all other subjects, math, science, and the like. And then, you know, we can add supplemental material as we like. Of course, it may not necessarily count. It would just supplement, you know, what's being prescribed through the Iowa virtual curriculum, which is actually run through the K-12 system, K-12 online.
And why do you feel like this is the right choice for your family?
So we were finding traditional homeschooling to be very difficult. Being in Decatur County, we were having trouble finding resources at a reasonable cost. It was becoming costly. It was becoming time-consuming. And we also felt that being tied to a public school would allow us to have socialization for the girls. There was not a good way for us to connect with other homeschool families in our area. And so through Iowa Virtual Academy, the kids can connect with their peers. We can connect with other parents. We attend field trips at least once a month. We're actually getting ready for one in September in the Des Moines area. And there will be a number of others throughout the year, like I said, at least once a month. And so there's so lots of socialization of opportunities and lots of support.
And Jesse, before I let you go, when you decided homeschooling wasn't working for you, why didn't you turn back to the public school, the more traditional form of education in Iowa?
Well, what we found is that K-12 has put the kids at a more advanced level. What the kids are doing, I'll use my oldest daughter, for example, what she's doing in fifth grade is what upper middle school students are doing in our local public school. She's at a higher level. And so for her to go back to the public school, I think would actually set her back, same for our youngest. And so it seemed like a more obvious choice to be, because we noticed that they were happier, they were learning more, they're more active, they're working harder, they're enjoying the ability to learn more.
And are you intending to do this all the way through high school? I realize that that's far into the future right now.
I think it's a high potential, yes.
All right. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for calling and sharing your experiences. Jesse in Lamoni, homeschooling through virtual public schooling. We're going to continue our conversation in a moment. Still with me is Carrie Vance. She lives in the Des Moines Public School District and is homeschooling her three children this year. Coming up in just a moment, Carla Bryant will share her experience of being homeschooled growing up in Tennessee. We'll also hear from Rose Schrock of the Mid Prairie School District. And again, you're welcome to join us. 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're exploring homeschooling culture in Iowa. We would love to hear from you, your experiences, your questions, your thoughts, your concerns. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me still is Carrie Vance. She lives in the Des Moines Public School District and is homeschooling her three children this year. She works closely with the district. And my next guest is Carla Bryant. She was homeschooled growing up in Tennessee, currently is an artist living in Iowa City. Carla, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And we wanted to bring people on who had experience growing up in homeschooling who could bring us the perspective of an adult looking back. So give us just a thumbnail sketch of the homeschooling environment that you were part of.
Well, I was raised in a very different kind of a way from a lot of the homeschoolers that I even was aware of as a child. And the broad strokes were that we were very isolated. It was an insular environment. We were separated from the rest of the community. We were only allowed to socialize with other homeschoolers and other, Christians in that community. And we were only taught the things that my parents believed were true. So it was very isolated.
And your parents made the decision to homeschool you and your siblings because of their religious beliefs.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. They believed that there were a lot of lies being taught in public schools, and that children's minds were malleable and, able to be taught whatever, and that they were gullible. And so they wanted to make sure that they got to us first.
So you were to be protected from the ideas of the outside world.
Exactly.
At this point, looking back on your education, on what you did learn, what do you think about the quality of education you received?
Well, it's interesting. My mom, she started in college in a home ec degree back when they had that. And my dad was an agriculture major. And so they were able to teach us things that I don't think that we would have been able to learn as well in a public school setting. So there, that was a positive. We took field trips to the Great Smoky Mountains, and learned about, you know, botany and learned how to make a dress, you know, at a young age. So that was something. As far as the quality of, you know, the sciences and the maths and all that, I don't have a whole lot of propensity, I guess, for the maths and sciences anyway. And so I don't know that I would be a good judge of that today. I think the classics was a high priority for getting into our minds at a young age. And so that was good. A lot of people ask me what my experience was like as a homeschooler as opposed to being public schooled. And I don't know, because I was never in a public school setting. So, that's...
Your parents chose this path because they wanted to have a lot of control mm-hmm. over what you were exposed to and your social life. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that rings a lot of alarm bells.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. So in reflecting on that, do you feel like that was an unhealthy situation for you and your siblings?
Totally. And I understand, you know, wanting the best for your children. I don't have children, but I have a niece, and I understand wanting the best for them. Keeping the world from them, though, it was horrible, and it kept me and my siblings from growing in a lot of ways. I feel held back, you know, a lot to this day. I'm 31 years old, and I have social anxiety. I have ADHD. I have PTSD. I have all these issues that, like, I don't know. I don't know if I would have had them otherwise, but I feel majorly held back. So, yeah.
Were you able to pursue higher education?
I was in such a state after high school, such a rebellious and chaotic state in my mind, I guess, that I did not consider that. I didn't even consider it. I've always been creative, and I assumed that I would be able to find creative work without going to college. And I have so far, but I've always dreamed of going to school.
And you feel like the creativity as an artist was kind of a byproduct of your education, not because it was encouraged, but because it was your escape.
Yeah, there was a period where I was not able to sit still. My mom designed a class for us called Sit Still and Be Quiet class, and the purpose of it was obviously to sit still and learn how to be quiet, and I couldn't. I was not able to sit still and pay attention. And so my mom was aware that I was into drawing. And so she said, okay, you can draw during this class as long as you're drawing what I'm reading about, what we're talking about. And so that was one of the beginning ways that I coped. I was able to channel my frustration and my feelings into artwork. So yeah,
you've talked a little bit about the ramifications for you as an adult of growing up this way, and you feel like there have been real struggles created for your siblings as well.
Yes, yeah, I'm one of seven, and all of us suffer from depression and other mental health issues. Some of us have gone into drugs and alcohol abuse, and it's just been a really rough road for us in adulthood. Yeah.
So when you think about homeschooling and the fact that here in Iowa we do have an opportunity for people to homeschool without interacting with a school district, being off the grid, really, what does that make you feel? What does that make you think?
Well, it's scary. That's my first thought, is that's, you know, with no checks and balances, there's so much more opportunity for bad people to be very bad. And at the same time, you know, obviously there's opportunities for good people to be very good. I understand that. I think it takes a community, and I don't plan on having children, so I haven't really even given homeschooling and public school a whole lot of thought as an adult. But I think that it is vitally important to be connected, to have social connectedness.
Carla, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Carla Bryant was homeschooled growing up in Tennessee, reflecting on her experience. And we're talking about homeschool culture this hour. With me, Carrie Vance. She lives in the Des Moines Public School District, is homeschooling her three children this year. And also joining us now is Rose Schrock, Assistant Director of Mid Prairie Homeschool Assistance Program. Rose, hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. And earlier we were talking about the homeschool assistance program in the Marion Independent School District. You also have a thriving program in Mid Prairie, which is a school district, a consolidated school district just south of Iowa City in the Kelowna area. Tell me just a little bit, give me a thumbnail sketch of your program. How many students are interacting with it?
Okay, we are starting our 22nd year of the program. And we have an enrollment of just over 400 for this year.
And I understand that you've been involved in the program for some time, and actually your experiences with the program have actually led you to decide to homeschool your children. Tell me about that.
Yes, this is I joined the program 21 years ago. So the second year of the program, a friend of mine was the teacher that started it and asked me to join her in the second year. And prior to that time, I had been working in the public schools and had two children at home and really had always wanted to be home with them more, but wanted to find a way that I could do that and still, pursue my career in the way that I had. And so this was a great opportunity for me. Up to that point, my older daughter had been going to public school, and so she went to public school through second grade. And then when I took this position, then